In regards to complaining and disputing, we can be tempted to complain about a lot of things. Now, the world just functions that way because they don't know Christ. They don't have the power to not complain. And so that's the way the world is. They complain and argue about everything. But we as believers should not be complaining and disputing about anything, as we're going to see.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
Greg, your topic today is one that everyone needs to hear. I think it's safe to say that we all struggle with grumbling or complaining about things.
Dave, I think it's safe to say that this is one of the most neglected commands in Scripture. Indeed, as a society, we are consumed with complaining. It's almost a national pastime, even within the church. But as we're going to see today from Philippians chapter 2, complaining is no small matter to God. In fact, it's a serious offense, and it's an area, as you said, we could all use some help in. So with that in mind, today we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, have you watched the news lately? Well, if you have, there's a lot of things going on that a lot of people don't like, from whatever side you might look at. If you look at the stories in some manner or fashion, it seems like each and every one of them has to do with someone complaining about somebody or something that they don't like or whatever it might be. Now, certainly, we have an overwhelming amount of areas in which we can complain in, right? We might be complaining about what the government should be doing or not, but politics is not the only area in which we might complain. You see, what does the world complain about? Well, the world complains about traffic jams, slow drivers, long lines, crying babies, misplaced keys, cold food, noisy neighbors, tight clothes, loose clothes, work situations, our bosses, coworkers, families, relatives, parents, spouses, finances, church, pastor, whatever it might be, the music, the way things are done, the sermon. In regards to complaining and disputing, we can be tempted to complain about a lot of things. Now, the world just functions that way because they don't know Christ. They don't have the power to not complain. And so that's the way the world is. They complain and argue about everything and dispute. That's the world. But we as believers should not be complaining and disputing about anything, as we're going to see. We're going to see that we are commanded to do all things without grumbling and disputing. And it's been said this is one of the most disobeyed commands in the New Testament. And we need to be reminded, because the Lord wants us to, as we will see, shine forth rightly, because we are lights in the midst of a dark and wicked world. So we're going to see how we are to live the Christian life, but more specifically, that we should be shining righteously in a dark world. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're continuing our look through the book of Philippians. And it is about 62 AD. The Apostle Paul is writing the church. He is under house arrest in Rome, and he is about to go before Caesar. He may live or die. And he is very close to the Philippians, having been the one who shared the gospel with them in their founding 10 years earlier. Now, Paul, in this letter, has already revealed his thankfulness for God's past work in them and his present work and what he will do, that he will complete the work that he has begun. And he has prayed that their love for Christ would abound in true knowledge and discernment, so that they'd make right choices, choose the excellent things that glorify God. He has made it clear that his circumstances of imprisonment have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. And he knew and desired that Christ would be magnified in his life. And within that, he recognized that whether he lived or died, to live was Christ. To live was to serve the Lord, and thus serve the body of Christ, and to die is gain. And then he turned to the Philippians' circumstances, encouraging them and exhorting them and commanding them to walk as heavenly citizens in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, to stand firm, striving together for the truth, not afraid of the opposition, knowing that's a sign of their being on their way to glory and their opposition's on their way to destruction. And we saw in the beginning of chapter 2 that we are to be walking in the context of unity in the body of Christ. We are to have unity. We are to be thinking like Christ. And what that looks like in practice is to do nothing from selfishness or vainglory or empty conceit. But in contrast, regarding everyone else as supreme, surpassing or superior than ourselves, scoping out ways, looking to regard others as more important than ourselves. And we saw how this is done. It's done only when we have the mind of Christ. We're to have this mind in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although he was God, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We're to be thinking like Christ thought, and it's when we think like he thinks, when we have his word dwelling richly in our hearts, and we see others the way he sees them, the way we are to see them, that we're going to act differently. And because of his perfect example of selfless humility, we see that he was exalted back to his rightful position, that at the name that Jesus possesses, at the name he has, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And it's from that we have the implications on what we are to do. We saw the commands that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are to have a right, respectful attitude towards the Lord. We are to see sin rightly. We are to work out, which means allow what's inside of us, what God does, to work out in our behavior. We're to work it out with fear and trembling because God is working in us. God is literally the one working in us. And we saw that working out was literally obeying, as the Apostle Paul said, just as you have obeyed, not only in my presence, but now in my absence. Obedience is the working out of the salvation that God has put in us as he changes our hearts and minds. When we obey his word humbly, like Christ, our example, who was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And then from this point, we come to the first practical command after being told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in us. And we see today that we are to do everything without grumbling and disputing. We're going to see this is an evil sin. And we're going to see that we should not be this way. And if we are, it could be an evidence that maybe we don't know the Lord or we have been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We're to do nothing like this. And we're tempted every day. I tell you right now, we are tempted every single day to complain and grumble because there are circumstances that are not the way we would like. There are people that don't do the things we want to do. There are situations that come upon us that surprise us or whatever it might be. And we are tempted to complain and grumble. But we are to be different because we are, as we'll see, lights that shine in the world. So with that in mind, how are we to live the Christian life? I believe we're going to see that we should be shining righteously in a dark world. Now, because what we're going to see today is connected to what I just reviewed, and it's also connected to a portion that we won't get to today because of time, I want to read through all of that, and I'll tell you where we're at. Let's go back to verse 12 in chapter 2 of Philippians. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And that's where we finished last time. And now our passage, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Now that's what we're going to look at today, but it is connected to the next portion. What we're going to see today is the temporal reality that what we should be doing based on not grumbling and complaining. We're going to see also the eternal reality next time. Notice where he says, holding fast the word of life, verse 16, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. And you too, I urge, rejoice in the same way as you share your joy with me. We're going to see, instead of complaining and grumbling, we should be submitting to the Lord, obeying Him, and that's going to bring joy in our lives. Have you ever been around someone who's complaining and grumbling? Is that joyful? No, it's not. It's a great burden, and we've been those burdens, haven't we? We certainly have. If you haven't, then I don't think you're alive, because we all sin, right? But as believers, we are not to be this way. We are not to be this way. We are to be those who will continue obeying as we have before. So then we're going to be looking at verses 14 and 15 today, but again, they are based on verses that come preceding. We saw already that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are to be doing that. Not to work for our salvation, but work out that which God has already placed in us. He has saved us. He has delivered us from darkness. He has given us His Spirit, and He has enabled us now to understand His Word, to think differently, and thus prove His will or demonstrate His will, to act differently. And we saw we should have the right attitude. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, phobos and traumas. You see, most of our problem is that we don't have a right attitude towards God and who He is and then what He has done. He sent His Son to die for our sins. He paid the full penalty for our sins. And we take sin lightly at times. And we're going to see we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And part of that is doing all things without complaining and grumbling. We have a wrong view towards how terrible that sin and other sins are at times. We have a lightened view. And so we are to do it with reverence and humility and dependence on the Lord, fear and trembling. We see that example of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians when he came to the Corinthians in fear and trembling, wanting to know only about Christ. He came in the context of dependence and humility, and that's the fruit that you will see of fear and trembling before the Lord. And so this, we are to be working it out because God is at work in us. Work out what God is working in you. As He uses His Word by His Spirit to convict you, to change your mind, it should work out in obedience in your life. So with that, we come to our passage today, where we're going to see how we are to live the Christian life, and we'll realize that God is doing this to His own good pleasure. It pleases Him when we walk by faith. It pleases Him when the life of Christ is manifest in us. It pleases Him when we do not complain and grumble about anything. Now, certainly we grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin. And I hope you have the same desires that I have. I want to please the Lord. I don't want to grieve the Lord. And I want to be convicted about when I fail, when my attitudes are wrong, so that I can change and be more like Christ. And I hope you have the same desire. And so if you do, God's Word will work in you today. So I encourage you to humble yourself and be willing to listen to God's Word so that you can see yourself rightly and then walk rightly before the Lord. So then we have our passage today. And we're going to see, first of all, we are to do all things without complaining and grumbling or disputing so that we will shine righteously in this dark temporal world. And as I said, it's also so that we will also glorify God in the day of Christ. We'll see that next time. So we're going to look at the temporal realities today and then the eternal realities, Lord willing, next week. They're all connected. So then notice our passage. Do all things, verse 14. Without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So then we have the very first real application of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. The very first command after that command to do so. It's in the context of obedience. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now, this is an imperative command from the living God through the Word of God. It's not a suggestion. It is a command from God to us. And when we disobey it, we are disobedient. We are rebellious towards the Lord when we choose to have bad attitudes towards other people, as we'll see. When we choose to grumble and complain about people or circumstances. We're going to see it's very serious. We need to fight that temptation because no temptation has come upon us except that which is common to man. And God is faithful to provide a way of escape that we may endure it. It's an imperative command. We are to be obeying, working out our salvation. This is extremely important to the Lord. Obviously, it's the first command in the list here. And folks, we can become dulled in this Christian culture. We cannot see complaining or disputing like God sees it. You see, we live in a Christian culture that doesn't basically fear and tremble before the Lord. We live in a culture that downgrades the seriousness of sin in the current evangelical church. A culture that tailors sermons around the felt needs of the flock, and thus their grumblings, by the way. But folks, as we will see, complaining and grumbling, complaining and disputing is a serious sin. It's the first one on the list. And sadly, we can take it so lightly, or we can be hardened by sin and begin to take it lightly again. And today, I hope, is a day for true believers here will analyze our hearts rightly and respond rightly and be changed. So we are to do things in the context of fear and trembling, all things without grumbling and disputing. Now, it's important to realize this command is to believers. It's to the Philippian church. They have a true relationship with the living God. They have trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They've received the Spirit of God. They are saints. They are those in whom God is working in them. It is for true believers. If you try to obey this apart from the Spirit of God and a relationship with Him, you may be able to do it externally. You may look very righteous, but on the inside, as we'll see, you won't be pure at all. It's only because of Christ that we were able to obey this command. Now, it's in the present tense. It means keep on doing everything without grumbling and disputing. Keep on doing everything. Everything you do, do it without these things. Everything you do, as we will see. All things, literally, it's emphatic. If you read the Greek text, it would say, all things do continually without grumbling and disputing. Does that leave room for any area to grumble? Well, they said something I didn't like. Well, they did something I didn't like. Does that give room? Not at all. I have a serious issue physically speaking. Does that give me room to grumble or complain? I'm not talking about talking to the Lord and sharing your heart with Him as we see David in difficulties. I'm talking about complaining, as we will see, and grumbling and disputing. So what does he mean by this term, these terms, grumbling and disputing? I think it'd be very profitable for us to take a look at the scriptures relating to these terms and some examples that we have in the Old Testament, which will show us really God's view towards these sins, which we can take so lightly or not even realize we're doing because we've gotten in a pattern of grumbling, complaining, or jerky around people. When things don't go our way, or we don't like what we see or whatever it might be. So what are these terms? He says here, first of all, do all things without grumbling and disputing. The term translated grumbling here speaks of verbal expressions of discontent or displeasure, often accompanied by feelings of annoyance and anger. Usually we find when we are annoyed about something, we end up grumbling either under our breath or actually grumbling to people. Verbal expressions of discontent and displeasure, often accompanied by feelings of annoyance and anger. The synonym for this word would be murmuring. You know, that murmuring that goes in your heart and sometimes comes out in your lips. It's translated murmurings, grumbling, complaining. All those translations are valid, and the word carries the sense of all of those. It's used three other times in the New Testament. It's used in John chapter 7 to speak of the muttering and the grumbling among the multitudes who were looking for Jesus and he wasn't at the feast. Where is he? They wanted to know why he wasn't there. It's used in Acts 6, translated complaint concerning the Hellenistic Jews complaining against the native Jews because there the Hellenistic were being overlooked for their meals. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It's also used to speak of complaint in 1 Peter 4:9. We are to be hospitable without complaint. We're to serve one another without complaint. And you know what? When you serve sinful people, when you're around sinful people, there's going to be many opportunities to complain. That's what the world does. But we are different in Christ, and we are to be different because we are children of God. When those things come up that cause us to be tempted to do so, we are not to do it. And when we do, we are rebelling against the living God, as we will see. So we have this grumbling, and it's the way the world functions. Those who don't know Christ live in the context of grumbling and complaining. Whether it's at work or at home, at the supermarket, on TV, whatever it is, this is how non-believers function. When things don't go their way or things aren't right, when they get irritated or whatever it might be, when people say things they don't like, when they hear something they don't want, whatever it might be, and we are tempted to respond in the same way. Do I need to further explain? We understand what complaining and grumbling is, and we are commanded to do continually, habitually, all things without that. If you're a true believer, if you name the name of Christ, complaining and disputing is not at any level right. You see, we used to do it before we were saved, but unless you've been saved, we are no longer to do it. You may have good reason in your mind. You may think you deserve to do so, and that's an evidence of something wrong in your heart. That's part of the reality of what comes underneath the complaining and grumbling that we need to deal with and have our hearts changed by the Word of God and by the God of the Word. So with this in mind, the Philippians, I believe, were doing well. He said, just as you have always obeyed, keep obeying. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe if you're a true believer, by and large, you are not complaining and grumbling all the time. You may fall into it. And if you're deceived or hardened, if you're really falling into it, that's not a good thing. God's going to discipline you. Going to discipline you. Already is disciplining. But non-believers do it all the time. But true believers should be, by and large, not doing this. But we do fall into the temptation on a daily basis. Just be around other people for about 5 minutes, right? And you will realize there's temptation to grumble and complain. So with this in mind, we have this command, first of all, to do all things without grumbling. But what's the second word? The word is translated disputing. The word comes from the Greek word dialogismos. And we get our word dialogue from that. It carries the idea of reasoning. And what's interesting, it is translated almost every single time in a negative fashion. But it is often translated evil thoughts or evil reasonings, that from that comes sin. You see, our arguments don't start on the outside. They start on the inside. When we reason about things in an evil manner, we don't see things from God's point of view as a humble servant, seeing others as more important than yourself. When we reason, we have the right to address these things this way. It is evil reasoning.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments we have left in today's broadcast, help me understand how I'm supposed to do everything without complaining. Does the Apostle Paul really mean absolutely everything?
Dave, yes, he means absolutely everything. And we are to do everything without complaining and grumbling. Now, as with other aspects of the Christian life, this command is impossible to do. It's not possible in any way within ourselves to stop grumbling and complaining. The only way that we are able to live out what Christ commands us through His Word is to come to the end of ourselves and allow Him to live His life through us. When we finally come to that place of surrender, we will find His grace, His mercy, and strength for what He calls us to do. And that includes doing away with a complaining tongue. And remember, this is not just a one-time thing. This is part of your sanctification. It's the ongoing process of God setting us apart from sin unto Himself. Don't let another day pass without surrendering yourself to the will of God, confessing sin, and trusting Christ to live through you.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.